The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard, on corners in town. Like a cancer that's silently spreading, there's an unspoken fear. We're on our way down. We must take America back. Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C. Before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, then ransom our future and our children's, that's wrong. We must take America back as liberty weeps, our forefathers spin in their graves. Pray God will bless some way out of this mess. We must take America back. Lord knows they'll try to silence our voices. They'll pretend to be patriots, fighting for fairness for all. But they're not even fit to hold office. What they believe doesn't fit with freedom at all.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is the National Intel Report. I'm your host, John Stattmiller, with you on this Wednesday, 18 December 2019. And as a special little treat from God's waiting room, the Swamp Gas, Steve Elkins.
Hello there, John. Big day today, huh?
Big day.
Big day.
Big day. I don't know what big of what. I mean, and you actually got me watching the proceedings. Damn you all to and back.
Yeah, well, three ring circus here. We had plenty of elephants. We had plenty of donkeys out there today. It was an interesting day.
Well, and it was quid pro quo. Whereas the Democrats got up for a minute or 2 minutes and. If they had especially juicy stuff to impart to the American people on both sides of the aisle, whether they be Republican or Democrat, you know, you can always tell how good it's going to be. You can ignore the 1 minute guys. You know, they're just up there pitching their stuff, you know. But when they give 2 minutes, then you got to pay a little bit more attention. But when they say 3 minutes, then you really have to pay attention because that's the juicy stuff. Yeah. Well, they're not stopping. In spite of what their own investigations has turned up, which is a big fat nothing, they're continuing with the proceedings against the president for high crimes and misdemeanors. And specifically, you had this down. What are they charging him with? Obstruction of Congress and what else?
Abuse of power.
Ooh, abuse of power.
Abuse of power.
And to hear the Democrats referring, I mean, naming the founders by... I didn't think these people knew what the founders were or what country and what world and what time they're living in. But, Steve, they keep making constant reference to the Constitution of the United States and policy. Now, excuse me, but most of the policies that the Congress cooks up wouldn't pass constitutional muster in the first place. And I kept thinking, listening to these guys talk, and the Republicans just getting up there and going, oh, you know, that's all bull crap. That's all crap. It's all crap. You know, and the president didn't do anything wrong. And I'm listening to this and I'm wondering why the Republicans aren't coming out with a constitutional canon to blow these little suckers away. Yeah. Well, then it dawned on me. They can't because all the policies and all the bills that they introduced, we don't want to get into this constitutional fight. Because then we might have to take a look at what both sides of the aisle has done to this government, along with the presidents and their executive orders and God knows what else. So here we are listening to a bunch of communists extolling the virtues of our constitutional republic, but you know, in the meantime, they're able to slip in more often than to be fair, more often than the Republicans do, Steve. But they keep throwing in this democracy, this democracy, this democracy. Mm-hmm. And I'm listening to this, I'm going, okay. So in a democracy, the majority wins, right? 51%, okay. Say if we're having a presidential election, 51% of the votes out there indicate that, well, there's a preference by the people here. You know, they want candidate A rather than candidate B. And then in the states, what they do is they go to their polls, they vote for the president of their choice, and then the votes are tabulated, and that tells you which candidate in that respective state the people are voting for. It's called counting the vote. Okay. Then that turns into what? That is the Electoral College vote for the presidency of the United States. Am I in error any place here yet, Steve?
No. Okay. You're doing great. Okay. You're right there.
Well, good. I just wanted to check myself because I feel like a
stranger. You're right on point.
I feel like a stranger in a strange land here. You know, and I continue to listen to this. So yesterday I read Donald Trump's letter to Nancy Pelosi. And it's really not so much of an indictment against Nancy Pelosi as it is the entire Democrat Party. And the specific reason why he wrote this six-page letter to Dear Nancy, one of the last lines in the next to last paragraph in this letter, while I have no expectation that you will do so, cease the impeachment fantasy. He says, I write this letter to you for the purpose of history and to put my thoughts on a permanent and indelible record. That's really what he was after. He's not made any comments so far. He's pretty much stayed away from Twitter as well. But ladies and gentlemen, here is the letter from President Donald J. Trump to the Speaker of the House of Representatives. The Honorable Nancy Pelosi, Speaker of the House of Representatives, Washington, D.C., 20515. Dear Madam Speaker, I like to be all-inclusive here. I write to express my strongest and most powerful protest against the partisan impeachment crusade being pursued by the Democrats in the House of Representatives. This impeachment represents an unprecedented and unconstitutional abuse of power by Democrat lawmakers, unequaled in nearly 2.5 centuries of the American legislative history. The articles of impeachment introduced by the House Judiciary Committee are not recognizable under any standard of the constitutional theory, interpretation, or jurisprudence. They include no crimes, no misdemeanors, and no offenses whatsoever. You have cheapened the importance of the very ugly word impeachment. By proceeding with your invalid impeachment, you are violating your oath of office, you are breaking your allegiance to the Constitution, and you're declaring open war on American democracy. Now, here again, Mr. Trump needs to have but I'll continue. You dare to invoke founding fathers in pursuit of this election nullification scheme, yet your spiteful action display unfettered contempt for the American founding, and your egregious conduct threatens to destroy that which our founders pledged their very lives to build. Even worse than offending the founding fathers, you are offending Americans of faith by continually saying, I pray for the president. When you know this statement is not true, unless it's meant in a negative sense, it's a terrible thing that you're doing, but you will have to live with it. Your first claim, abuse of power, is completely disingenuous, meritless, and baseless invention of your imagination. You know that I had totally innocent conversation with the president of Ukraine. I then had a second conversation that has been misquoted, mischaracterized, and fraudulently misrepresented. Fortunately, there was a transcript of the conversation taken, and you know from that transcript, which was immediately made available, that the paragraph in question was perfect. I said to President Zelensky, I would like you to do us a favor, though. because our country has been through a lot and Ukraine knows a lot about it, I said, do us a favor, not me and our country, not a campaign. I then mentioned the Attorney General of the United States, and every time I talk with a foreign leader, I put Americans' interests first, just as I did with President Zelensky. You are turning a policy disagreement between two branches of government into an impeachable offense. It is no more legitimate than the executive branch charging members of Congress with crimes for the lawful exercise of legislative power. You know full well that the Vice President Biden used his office and $1 billion of U.S. aid money to coerce Ukraine into firing the prosecutor who was digging into the company paying his son millions of dollars. You know this because Biden bragged about it on video. Biden openly stated, I said, I'm telling you, you're not getting the $1 billion. I looked at them and I said, I am leaving in 6 hours. If the prosecutor is not fired, you're not getting the money. Well, son of a bugger, he got fired. Even Joe Biden admitted just days ago in an interview with NPR that it looked bad. Now you're trying to impeach me by falsely accusing me of doing what Joe Biden has admitted he actually did. President Zelensky has repeatedly declared that I did nothing wrong and that there was no pressure. He further emphasized that it was a good phone call, that I don't feel pressure, and explicitly stressed that nobody pushed me. The Ukrainian foreign minister stated very clearly, I have never seen a direct link between investigations and security assistance. He also said there was no pressure. Senator Ron Johnson of Wisconsin, a supporter of the Ukraine who met privately with Zelensky, has said, at no time during this meeting was there any mention by Zelensky or any Ukrainian that they were feeling pressure to do anything in return for the military aid. Many meetings have been held between representatives of Ukraine and our country. Never once did Ukraine complain about pressure being applied, not once. Ambassador Sondland testified that I told him, no quid pro quo. I want nothing. I want nothing. I want President Zelensky to do the right thing. Do what he ran on. End quote. The second claim, so-called obstruction of Congress, is preposterous and dangerous. House Democrats are trying to impeach the duly elected president of the United States for asserting constitutionally based privileges that have been asserted on a bipartisan basis by administrations of both political parties throughout our nation's history. Under that standard, every American president would have been impeached many times over. As liberal law professor Jonathan Turley warned when addressing congressional Democrats, quoting him, I can't emphasize this enough. If you impeach a president, if you make a high crime and misdemeanor out of going to the courts, it's an abuse of power. It is your abuse of power. You're doing precisely what you're criticizing the president for doing. Everyone, excuse me, you included, knows what is actually happening. Your chosen candidate lost the election in 2016. In an electoral college landslide, the vote was 306 to 227. And you and your party have never recovered from this defeat. You have developed a full-fledged case of what many in the media call Trump derangement syndrome, and sadly, you will never get over it. You're unwilling and unable to accept the verdict issued at the ballot box during the great election of 2016, so you have spent 3 straight years attempting to overthrow the will of the American people and nullify their votes. You view democracy as your enemy. I gotta give this guy a class. Speaker Pelosi, you admitted last week at a public forum that your party's impeachment effort has been going on for 2.5 years, long before you even heard about a phone call with Ukraine. 19 minutes after I took the oath of office, the Washington Post published a story, headline, The Campaign to Impeach President Trump Has Begun. Less than 3 months after my inauguration, Representative Maxine Waters stated, I'm going to fight every day until he's impeached. House representatives introduced the first impeachment resolution against me within months of my inauguration, for what will be regarded as one of the country's best decisions, the firing of James Comey. And he puts a note in here, see Inspector General reports, who the world now knows is one of the dirtiest cops our nation has ever seen. A ranting and raving Congresswoman, Rashida Tlaib, declared just hours after she was sworn into office, "We're going to go in there and we're going to impeach the MF-er." Representative Al Green said in May, "I'm concerned that if we don't impeach this president, he will get reelected." Again, you and your allies said, and did, all of these things long before you even heard of President Zelensky or anything related to the Ukraine. As you know very well, this impeachment drive has nothing to do with Ukraine or totally appropriate conversation I had with the new president. It only has to do with your attempt to undo the election of 2016 and steal the election of 2020. Congressman Adam Schiff created and lied all the way up to the present day, even going as far as to fraudulently make up out of thin air my conversation with President Zelensky of Ukraine and read this fantasy language to Congress as though it were said by me. His shameless lies and deceptions dating all the way back to the Russia hoax is one of the main reasons we are here today. You and your party are desperate to distract from America's extraordinary economy, incredible jobs boom, record stock markets, soaring confidence, and flourishing citizens. Your party simply cannot compete with our record, 7 million new jobs, the lowest ever unemployment for African Americans, Hispanic Americans, Asian Americans, a rebuilt military, a completely reformed VA with choice and accountability for our great veterans, more than 170 new federal judges and two Supreme Court justices, historic and regulation cuts, the elimination of individual mandate, the first decline in prescription drug prices in more than a half a century, the first new branch of the United States military since 1947, the Space Force, strong protection of the Second Amendment, criminal justice reform, a defeated ISIS caliphate, and the killing of the world's number one terrorist leader, al-Baghdadi. The replacement of the disastrous NAFTA trade deal with a wonderful USMCA, a breakthrough Phase One trade deal with China, massive new trade deals with Japan and South Korea, withdrawal from the terrible Iran nuclear deal, cancellation of the unfair and costly Paris Climate Accord, becoming the world's top energy producer, recognition of Israel's capital, opening the American embassy in Jerusalem, and recognizing Israel's sovereignty over the Golan Heights. I'll leave that go without comment. A colossal reduction in the illegal border crossings, the ending of the catch and release, and the building of the southern border wall. And that's just the beginning. There's so much more. You cannot defend your extreme policies, open borders, mass migration, high crime, crippling taxes, socialized health care, destruction of American energy, late-term taxpayer-funded abortion, elimination of the Second Amendment, radical far-left theories of law and justice, and constant partisan obstruction of both common sense and common good. There is nothing I would rather do than stop referring to your party as the do-nothing Democrats. Unfortunately, I don't know that you'll ever give me a chance to do so. After 3 years of unfair and unwarranted investigations, $45 million spent, 18 angry Democrat prosecutors, the entire force of the FBI, headed by leadership now proven to be totally incompetent and corrupt, you have found nothing. And those are all caps. Nothing is in all caps. Few people in high position could have endured or passed this test. You do not know, nor do you care, the great damage and hurt you have inflicted upon wonderful and loving members of my family. You conducted a fake investigation upon the democratically elected president of the United States, and you are doing it yet again. There are not many people who could have taken a punishment inflicted during this period of time and yet done so much for the success of America and its citizens. But instead of putting our country first, you have decided to disgrace our country still further. You completely failed with the Mueller report because there was nothing to find, so you decided to take the next hoax that came along, the phone call with Ukraine. Even though it was a perfect call, and by the way, when I speak to foreign countries, there are many people, with permission, listening to the call on both sides of the conversation. You are the ones interfering in America's elections. You are the ones subverting America's democracy. You are the ones obstructing justice. You're the ones bringing pain and suffering to our republic for your own selfish personal, political, and partisan gain. Before the impeachment hoax, it was the Russian witch hunt against all evidence and regardless of the truth. You and your deputies claimed that my campaign colluded with the Russians, a grave, malicious, and slanderous lie, a falsehood like no other. You forced our nation through turmoil and torment over a wholly fabricated story, illegally purchased from a foreign spy by Hillary Clinton and the DNC in order to assault our democracy. Yet, when the monstrous lie was debunked, this Democrat conspiracy dissolved into dust. You did not apologize. You did not recant. You did not ask to be forgiven. You showed no remorse, no capacity for self-reflection. Instead, you pursued your next libelous and vicious crusade. You engineered an attempt to frame and defame me, an innocent person. All of this was motivated by personal political calculation. Your speakership and your party are held hostage by your most deranged and radical representatives of the far left. Each one of your members lives in fear of a socialist primary challenger. This is what is driving impeachment. Look at Congressman's Nadler's challenger. Look at yourself and others. Do not take our country down with your party. If you truly cared about freedom and liberty for our nation, then you would be devoting your vast investigative resource to exposing the full truth concerning the FBI's horrifying abuses of power before, during, and after the 2016 election, including the use of spies against my campaign, the submission of false evidence to a FISA court, and the concealment of exculpatory evidence in order to frame the innocent. The FBI has a great and honorable people, but the leadership was inept and corrupt. I would think that you would personally be appalled by these revelations because in your press conference, the day you announced impeachment, you tied the impeachment effort directly to the completely discredited Russia hoax, declaring twice that all roads lead to Putin, when you know that is an abject lie. I have been far tougher on Russia than President Obama ever thought to be. Any member of Congress who votes in support of impeachment against every shred of truth, fact, evidence, and legal principle is showing how deeply they revile the voters and how they truly detest America's constitutional order. Our founders feared the tribalization of partisan politics, and you are bringing their worst fears to life. Worse still, I have been deprived of basic constitutional due process from the beginning of this impeachment scam right up until the present. I have been denied the most fundamental rights afforded by the Constitution, including the right to present evidence, to have my own counsel present, to confront accusers, to call and cross-examine witnesses, like the so-called whistleblower who started this entire hoax with a false report of a phone call that bears no relationship to the actual phone call that was made. Once I presented the transcribed call, which surprised and shocked the fraudsters, and he has in parentheses, I never thought such evidence would be presented, the so-called whistleblower and the second whistleblower disappeared because they got caught. Their report was a fraud, and they were no longer going to be made available to us. In other words, once the phone call was made public, your whole plot blew up, but that didn't stop you from continuing. More due process was afforded to those accused in the Salem witch trials. You and others of your committees have long said impeachment must be bipartisan. It is not. You said it was very divisive. It certainly is, even far more than you ever thought possible, and will only get worse. This is nothing more than an illegal, partisan, attempted coup that will, based on recent sentiment, badly fail at the voting booth. You're not just after me as president. You're after the entire Republican Party. But because of this colossal injustice, our party is more united than it's ever been. History will judge you harshly as you proceed with this impeachment charade. Your legacy will be that of turning the House of Representatives from a revered legislative body into a star chamber of partisan persecution. Perhaps most insulting of all is your false display of solemnity, which I didn't think was a word, but President wrote it. You apparently have no respect for the American people that you expect them to believe you are approaching this impeachment somberly, reservedly, and reluctantly. No intelligent person believes that you're what you're saying. Since the moment I won the election, the Democrat Party has been possessed by impeachment fever. There is no reticence. This is not a somber affair. You're making a mockery of impeachment, and you're scarcely concealing your hatred of me, of the Republican Party, and tens of millions of patriotic Americans. The voters are wise, and they are seeing straight through this empty, hollow, and dangerous game you are playing. I have no doubt the American people will hold you and the Democrats fully responsible in the upcoming 2020 election. They will not soon forgive your perversion of justice and abuse of power. There is far too much that needs to be done to impose the lives of our citizens. I'm sorry, improve, impose. Let me read that sentence again to be fair to the prez. There is far too much that needs to be done to improve the lives of our citizens. It is time for you and the highly partisan Democrats in Congress to immediately cease this impeachment fantasy and get back to work for the American people. While I have no expectation that you will do so, I write this letter to you for the purpose of history and to put my thoughts on a permanent and indelible record. 100 years from now, when people look back at this affair, I want them to understand it and learn from it so it can never happen to another president again. Sincerely yours, Donald J. Trump, President of the United States of America. That was a 6-page letter to Nancy Pelosi. What'd you think of that, Steve?
Well, I loved it. Actually, it was quite to the point. And I had some questions here. I didn't know it went to $45 million. I thought it was right around 37. So I'd like to know if there's an accounting of that. I'd like to see how that money actually was spent. I mean, where do you come up? How do you spend $45 million on this? I would love to see somebody break this down to say, well, this is where the money went. It just doesn't make sense to me, but he's absolutely correct. More due process was given at the Salem witch trials than in this hearing here. And they really had no case from the very beginning. And I think the Republicans pointed it out that this thing was hatched way early and carried out soon after his inauguration. And, this was their insurance policy. And if this it's going to go to the Senate now. And I think there's a great opportunity. You and I, we talked about this. Maybe you disagree a little bit, but I think there's a great opportunity here for Donald Trump to put on his flight jacket and get in that B-52 and start dropping those bombs. I really think he could really destroy the party. But then at the same time, he may actually pull in some Republicans from some dirty deeds too. So that there may be a give and take on that. He may not want to go that route. But this is a clear attempt to disenfranchise 63 million Trump voters. And that's how I see it. This is very partisan. It's not bipartisan. This is very partisan. This is, in law school, John, you do a lot of role playing. Sometimes you get to play the role of the prosecutor. Sometimes you get to play the role of the defense. And they say, okay, now we're going to switch it. You're going to play the prosecutor. And now you're going to, go after the person here and see what kind of case you can make. So there's evidently the reason they can do that is because there's gray, at least they're teaching in law school today, that there is gray area in the law. But, in the impeachment process, you don't actually have to be guilty of a criminal, violating a criminal statute at all. This can be very personal. This is we just don't like you. We don't like your behavior. And the whole premise of this whole thing was fictitious from the very beginning. Accusations, allegations, hunches, innuendo, you name it. This party could never, ever really make a case to the American people. And that's exactly what this whole hearing thing was about. It was not about they had the goods on Donald Trump. This was about, they've already said he's guilty. This is about convincing you, the American people, that he's guilty. That's what it was about.
I'm not quite sure that the majority of this was to try to unite the Democrats as a party against the Republican Party. Let's not split hairs. Let's take this break. Steve Elkins is my guest today. I'm your host, John Stadtmiller. We'll be back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed the newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
The newspaper? Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! Huh. For some reason, a majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper does not give out the important attention on what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
Hey, is that a new music app?
Yeah, check it out. Surfer Music Discovery. It links to thousands of online stations, but the twist is you see the song names and artists that are now playing live.
That's different. No guessing. Looks like a waterfall of music.
So many formats. Rock, oldies, country, R&B, jazz, and a whole lot more.
How's that spelled?
Surfer. S-U-R-F-R.
Is it expensive?
It's free. No need to sign up or sign in.
Get the Surfer Music app free from Google Play or the App Store.
So, you love talk radio, then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on, 24-7, with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
Don't regret growing old. It's a privilege denied to many. Heart disease is taking our youth from us. Young people in their 30s, 40s, 50s, and beyond are dying needlessly. One of the hardest messages I've ever had to deliver is to convince people that something natural like Extendivite should be taken as a preventative measure. I'm sure you heard, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. Extendivite is that ounce. Take Extendivite for 1 year and see what your doctor has to say and how much better you feel. Herbs take time to address the problem. It took years of life to have a problem. Give Extendivite 1 year to fix a problem. Don't wait until it's too late. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or visit us on Amazon.
Extend your life with
Steve, I'm a one-legged man in a butt-kicking contest today. My computer crashed, and I mean crashed. It's beyond.
Did it really?
Yeah, it's. I just love Windows as an operating system. And Tom told me, he says, "Oh, we use. What did you tell me? Use Firefox? Yeah, I would do. Yeah. Well, okay. Well, I don't have my caller screen, obviously." I'm sorry, who? Kevin. I'll tell you what, before we take calls today, let me make an announcement here. Because a lot of you figure out there that, well, I'm not going to call in. You know, there's callers that call into the show. First-time callers today, folks. And let me give you a little hint. Do little crib notes. You know, write down the points that you want to make. You know, because you might be a little bit nervous. Whatever. Don't be. This is a conversation between friends. All right. Number one, but yep. Make your bullet points so you don't get off track. And the call in number is 800-313-9443. First-time callers, let us hear from you. Because I think half the listeners are thinking, well, maybe that's all the people listening to the show, because I keep hearing the same old callers. Well, stop it.
We got 8 or 9 listeners, the same callers every time.
I know. And we love them, but gosh.
Yes, we do.
All right. So I'm sorry, who from where? Kevin in West Virginia. Go ahead, Kevin.
Hey, guys. I hope you guys are doing a great day or having a great day. I'm looking at things a little bit differently, how you guys are, how you and Mr. Steve are. I see the Democrats having an extra play that nobody's talking about.
Which is?
And here's the play. So think about Virginia for a moment, what they're doing in Virginia. Last night, ABC ran a report saying that they are going to bring the National Guard in and arrest the sheriffs that want to deputize everybody. And, you know, so leave that in the back of your head for a moment. So the Senate trial, whenever they acquit Trump, I can see the Democrats running to the Supreme Court and saying, look, there's something that needs to happen, something, you know, you guys got to do something. At the same time, is when they're going to greenlight the National Guard to go in and take the guns from people, arrest the sheriffs and everything. I think they're related. I mean, if you're going to remove a president, you've got to take the people's firearms first.
Well, so, Kevin, you're saying there's going to be a diversion, correct?
Yes.
And who would be ordering the National Guard to go in and go after the sheriffs?
Well, the Virginia House of Representatives person is the one that said that he would bring the National Guard in. It was
can't
ABCs.
Do it. That has to come from a governor, Kevin.
Yeah.
The governor can order the National Guard, not a representative.
Yeah. That is
Did
true.
Did you see Ralph Northam doing that?
I think it would, if that was true, that would be a disastrous thing because there will be blood spilled on that if that happens.
And I don't think any governor at this point, without, say, strong support, would attempt to do anything like that. From my understanding, the people in Virginia want this guy marched up to the gallows as it is right now. This is going beyond politics. This is actually endangering their own lives by doing so. And when I say that, I mean by way of treason against the Constitution and against the people. If he's willing to do that and hoping on a full-blown, chaotic, let's go grab the gun scenario, well, he's going to find out why the Second Amendment was put right behind the First.
Exactly.
I agree with what you're saying 100%, but these people we're talking about, they're unhinged. These people, you know, they don't care about the Constitution. They could sit there all day like Pelosi did and the Democrats did today. They don't care about you, me, Constitution. They're just riding roughshod over it. I think these people are crazy enough to pull something off. And I just, you know, be mindful of what these people can and are willing to do. I live pretty close to D.C. and, you know, Virginia's, I don't know, 20 minutes from me. Winchester, mm-hmm. Virginia's about 20 minutes from me. Mm-hmm. I mean, if this spills out like I'm thinking it's going to, you know, my family and everybody here is in danger. Everybody's in danger. Mm-hmm. I mean, these people, I don't trust them. I don't trust any of them.
Yeah.
This is not my government. This is, no. I don't identify as this my government. They're riding roughshod all over us.
Well, of course they are. And that's the problem. And it's been suggested that these Democrats might start another civil war. Well, the war, I don't know about another civil war, because the war between the states was not a civil war. That was conducted by the United States, ceded the United States government at the time, to aggressively go after member states, and they all happened to be the southern kind. And they were saying, look, we have a constitution, and you people are violating it. And so what the rewriters of history wanted to make you believe, that this was all based off of the states wanted to maintain the power of slavery. That's not true. They were concerned.
It was about gold.
And it was about states' rights across the board. The sovereign states that had joined this configuration that's been set up, they were member states, in the United States of America. But each one of these, see, and this is an important point that most people will not recall or repeat, that there is a reason why these 50, well, at the time it wasn't 50, the sovereign entities themselves, each state had their own constitution. This was kind of like a double check against the federal government that, wait a minute, you have the federal constitution, we have the state constitution, they pretty much align with each other, but we can rely on our own state constitution. And what I find most disturbing about all of this is this weak response from the Republicans as to the violation of the Constitution of this country by both parties on issues of policy. You know, it's not law that the Federal Reserve was brought in to be the keepers of the kingdom of our wealth in this country. That was a policy move. It was an illegal and unconstitutional power grab, if you will, but yet it stands here 118 years later? No, 108 years later. Here we still sit. Oh, 109 now, isn't it? Yeah, 1913, 15, 5, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, the Federal Reserve, yeah, there's a book out there, isn't there, that's called The Monster That Was Created on Jekyll Island?
Yeah, I'm fully versed in the book. I have handed out multiple copies of that to press and politicians alike. Even attended their deal down in Jekyll Island when we took over their hotel for 3 days.
I mean, and this, you know, and this is what makes me upset about everything is the whole riding roughshod over us. It's the whole riding roughshod over the Constitution. I mean, and people, you know, it's not supposed to work this way. These people don't care. They just don't care. That's what makes me...
If you look at it in this light, whether it be Donald Trump or some other Republican that wasn't going to go along with their crap, now, would I have preferred that a not-so-boisterous, more... culturally tamed individual would have got into the White House? Yeah. But Donald Trump, as I've said in the past, and I will repeat, Donald Trump was exactly the kind of president that we needed to have with what was going on in this country. This divide necessarily had to take place, my friend. It had to take place. The only problem is that the Republicans themselves are standing on pretty shaky ground.
I totally agree. I mean, this divide that you see, I think we reached the apex of this divide. I don't think we can get any more divided. And I think what you're going to see is people start coming together. Like, I think we reached the apex of the divide.
All right. Well, I appreciate your call. Thank you.
Thanks, Kevin.
Thank you.
All right. First-time callers, come on, folks. Make your little crib notes. Don't be nervous. We're going to hold the phone lines open for you. What do you think of that, Stevie Chinarino?
I think it's a great idea. It'd be nice to hear from some new people. I'm sure there's some listeners out there who are just a little shy. Like I said, you gave some good cues. Get your notes in order, and don't be shy. Call in.
Well, we're in a representative democracy, aren't we?
Yes. Yes, we are.
What?
Representative.
What? It's not a democracy.
Constitutional Republic.
There you go.
Hey, by the way, yeah. I noticed that that Adam Schiff and actually mainly Chucky Schumer, little Chucky, you call him little Chucky, was trying to set up ground rules for the Senate trial, which is code for exclusion and inclusion, exclusion of any kind of witness that might bring sight of any wrongdoing from any Democrats, I'm sure, but then inclusion of their witnesses that are going to be accusations, allegations, hunches, and everything else. It's going to be a spectacle. They're going to try to set the ground rules, which is basically exclusion and inclusion. It's a joke. You know what I did hear today, John?
What's that?
I did hear somebody mention, it was so funny that they looked around the room there and they said, all this Ivy League education, that didn't really show up today. It's true. Most of these people are attorneys.
Yep.
And this is not a court of law.
Nope.
But they're treating it as a court of law, excluding that they are not offering the evidence and proof.
And remember that this is the brand new republic and the Constitutional Republic that was reformed in 1871. So, you know, the Republicans, they themselves, they're being very cagey and very selective in their arguments against the Democrats because they're just as guilty of running this country as if it were a democracy that the Democrats are.
I agree.
You know, I mean, could you imagine that, or there was a time, there was a day in this country, Steve, that if somebody would have said, okay, well, my friend Barber John got shot by an angry drunk. He didn't like the way the guy cut his mustache, so he pulled out his revolver and killed him. We need to have gun control. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they would have rode that guy out of town on a rail.
Yeah.
That would have been considered treason. Your capacity as a representative swearing to an oath to protect and defend the Constitution, and then you're turning around and violating the very same.
Yeah.
They're both guilty.
Well, you know, when I was watching today, I spot lies when I see variation or changing of the facts and how they add on different. And I noticed that today they mentioned that Donald Trump held back $391 million from the Ukraine because, to offset the hostile Russia towards the Ukraine, which Russia is not hostile towards the Ukraine.
They are not.
But then it later on changed to it was to $400 million, and later on it changed to $405 million. That's how you spot the lie. You see, they're embellishing it a little bit more from 391 to 400 to 405. And something else I heard today, and I actually had to research this one because I heard it once before, and I actually had to find it myself. Somebody on the floor repeated today that the abuse of this president, that he had made a quote that he could shoot somebody on Fifth Avenue and never be prosecuted, never be found guilty of shooting somebody on Fifth Avenue. So I looked that up a little bit, and I found the actual quote, and Donald Trump never said that. Actually, who said it was an attorney was trying to make a point of executive privilege and immunity. He made that point, which was a very poor point to make. I probably would have fired my attorney if he had said something so stupid. But they're trying to saddle Donald Trump as having said that statement, and he did not say that statement. He did not make that statement. I could shoot somebody on Fifth Avenue. That was not a statement made by Donald Trump, but an attorney representing him.
Well, things are, with many words being spoken, it's getting rather confusing now, isn't it?
It's very, that's the point.
Yes.
That's the point.
Yeah.
And to the common layperson, the sheeple there, this, like I said, they've already decided that Donald Trump is guilty. These hearings were about convincing you, the people, that he's guilty. That's all it was about, convincing you. And hopefully they would stir you up enough that you would actually start calling people, calling your representatives, and forcing this to go a little bit further, and then maybe finally getting so out of hand that the president would probably say, you know what, I'm stepping down. But, you know, that's Donald Trump. He's not going to step down.
No, he's not. All right. Here is Nancy Pelosi's little spiel on the House floor today, where she made sure that she put on a pedestal this bright white placard with the American flag, and it says, "To the Republic for which it stands." Here's the great Nancy Pelosi.
Gentlelady, distinguished speakers, recognized for 1 minute.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I thank the gentleman for yielding, for his tremendous leadership in helping us honor the Constitution of the United States. I also extend my gratitude to Chairman Schiff, who will be presiding later in the day. My colleagues, this morning and every morning, when we come together, members rise and pledge allegiance to the flag. Every day, all across America, children in school, members of the military, officials, and those civically engaged also pledge allegiance to the flag. Let us recall what that pledge says. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic. To the Republic for which it stands. One nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. The Republic for which it stands is what we are here to talk about today. A republic, if we can keep it. We gather today under the dome of this temple of democracy to exercise one of the most solemn powers that this body can take, the impeachment of the President of the United States. No member, regardless of party or politics, comes to Congress to impeach a president. But every one of us, as our first act as a member of Congress, stood on this historic House floor before our beautiful American flag and raised our hands in this sacred oath. I do solemnly swear that I will support and defend the Constitution of the United States against all enemies, foreign and domestic. So help me God. For 230 years, members have taken that sacred oath, which makes us custodians of the Constitution. When our founders declared independence and established a new nation, they crafted a system of government unlike one ever seen before, a republic, starting with the sacred words, "We the people." For centuries, Americans have fought and died to defend democracy for the people.
Mm-hmm.
But
democracy.
Very sadly now, our founders' vision of a republic is under threat from actions from the White House. That is why today, as Speaker of the House, I solemnly and sadly open the debate on the impeachment of the President of the United States. If we do not act now, we would be derelict in our duty. It is tragic that the President's reckless actions make impeachment necessary. He gave us no choice. What we are discussing today is the established fact that the President violated the Constitution. It is a matter of fact that the President is an ongoing threat to our national security and the integrity of our elections, the basis of our democracy. Hundreds of historians, legal scholars, and former prosecutors, regardless of party, have stated that the President committed impeachable offenses. Since today is a national civics lesson, though a sad one, I submit these documents for the record and commend them for students to study.
Without objection, so order.
Thank you, Madam Speaker.
Yeah, thank you.
What we are discussing today is the established fact that the President, again, violated the Constitution. It is a matter of fact that the President is, again, an ongoing threat to our national security. And the testimony of decorated war heroes, distinguished diplomats, and patriotic career public servants, some of the President's own appointees over the past weeks, have told us this. The President used the power of his public office to obtain an improper personal political benefit at the expense of America's national security. When a president weakens a Democrat ally that is advancing American security interests by fighting an American adversary, the president weakens America. This abuse of power also jeopardizes the integrity of our elections. All Americans agree that American voters should choose our president, not some foreign government. The founders understood that it is profoundly corrosive for our democracy for a president to invite interference in our elections. As George Washington, our nation's patriarch, under whose gaze we stand today, warned, history and experience prove that foreign influence is one of the most baneful foes of Republican government. George Washington. Sadly, the American people have witnessed further wrongs of the president, which necessitate the second article of impeachment, obstruction of Congress. When the president's wrongdoing was revealed, he launched an unprecedented, indiscriminate, and categorical campaign of defiance and obstruction. Never before in the history of our nation have we seen a president declare and act as if he is above the law. The president goes even so far as to say and act on this absurdity when he says, Article 2 says I can do whatever I want. No, it doesn't. That recklessness is a profound violation of the Constitution and our republic, which endure because of our system of separation of power, three co-equal branches, each a check and balance on the other, a republic, again, if we can keep it. The founders' great fear of a rogue or corrupt president is the very reason why they enshrined impeachment in the Constitution. As one founder, William Davy of North Carolina, warned, Unless the Constitution contained an impeachment provision, a president might spare no efforts or means whatever to get himself reelected. Another founder, George Mason, insisted that the president who procured his appointment in the first instance through improper and corrupt acts might repeat his guilt and return to power. We in Congress, Article 1, the legislative branch, must stand up and make clear to the American people and to all people that this body still stands by the principles enshrined in the Constitution and defended by generations of Americans. Last week, in observance of the 75th anniversary of the Battle of the Bulge, members traveled to that hallowed ground to express our gratitude to the heroes of freedom who sacrificed everything to secure victory of freedom over tyranny, not just for America, but for the world. The veterans of that battle, who were there in their 90s, told us how after the war was won, the Europeans to whom they liberated would ask, "Why did you risk us? You don't know us, and give your lives to save us. We're not Americans." And our men would say, "We came here to fight for you, not because you are Americans, because we are Americans." As our beloved Chairman Elijah Cummings, an Oversight Committee Chair, our North Star, said when announcing his support for this action, quote, "When the history books are written about this tumultuous era, I want them to show that I was among those in the House of Representatives who stood up to lawlessness and tyranny." He also said, almost prophetically, "When we are dancing with the angels, the question will be, what did we do to make sure we kept our democracy intact?" Elijah, as you know, has since passed on. Now he is dancing with the angels. And I know that he and all of us here are very proud of the moral courage of members. We want to honor the vision of our founders for a republic, the sacrifice of our men and women in uniform to defend it, and the aspirations of our children to live freely within it. Today, we are here to defend democracy for the people. May God bless America. I yield back the balance of my time.
Yeah, and hopefully she walked off the House floor never to return. But we know that's not the case. Do you see the problem here, Steve? Conflating, trying to make people believe democracy, democracy, democracy. And how many times have you listeners out there heard me complain about this very thing? Well, now the configuration is this republic for which it stands and this great democracy. Let me tell you something, folks. If democracy gets anywhere close to the republic, guess what ceases to exist? The republic. These clowns should be thrown out of office. I mean, you know, as a matter of fact, Steve, the American people have had it with Congress. They've especially are sick and tired of the Democrats and what they're doing. I'd like to see a national program going on to recall all of them. And I don't give a damn how tenured they are, what they claim that they are, Republican or Democrat. I would like to oust them all. Reform and replace this Congress with what? When you take the oath, you better damn well mean it, because that's either going to be your lifeline or that will be the end of you swinging on a rope on a gallows someplace. Let's take top of the hour break. Steve Elkins, John Stadtmiller, we'll be right back.
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed a newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, the majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper doesn't give out the important attention of what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion. You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.